Happy Easter, everyone. This is a special Easter for me. My granddaughter baked me cookies. You can imagine how joyful I am. And those cookies are right there. Immediately after service, I start eating them right from my car. We give God all the glory. I will live to see this day. Broke up, for you know what it means now, that you see your grandchildren taking care of grandpa. Praise the Lord. Okay, before I preach, go ahead. Yeah, play.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news. It really is good news. And the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, I've heard testimonies where the colors were brighter, the day was more beautiful. I mean, you were excited, your sins were forgiven. You were a brand new creature in Christ. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ. You are flawless in His sight. You have good standing. You have peace with God because Isaiah 53:5 says that the punishment was put on Jesus so we could have peace with God. Such beautiful good news. But I'm hearing way too many children of God. All of a sudden, they're doubting their salvation. They're looking at themselves and feeling unworthy of this good news. All of a sudden, it's no longer good news. Where did the good news go? You children of God need to stop listening to any kind of teaching that is not preaching and teaching the good news. Any teaching. There is too many teachings out there that are mixed with grace and law or completely law. We are no longer under the law. Jesus became the curse so that we are no longer under the curse of the law. It was a curse because there was no way that we could obey these laws. And that is why right after God gave them to the children of Israel, the very next chapter, he told them what sacrifices to make. So every time they disobeyed this law, because he knew they could never obey them. He only gave them the law so that they would see they need a Savior. And once you have the Savior, you're done. This is good news. You should be rejoicing every single day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day we're supposed to rejoice. Rejoice always. Rejoice in everything. Praise Him always. Worship Him, for He is worthy for what He did for us on the cross. Wow, I was just thinking tomorrow is Easter, or at least that's the day we're celebrating Easter. We're celebrating His resurrection. And we need to celebrate His resurrection every single day of our lives. We don't have to wait till Easter. The good news is the good news every single day of our life. And every day you should get up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For so many other reasons, but the main one is what He did on the cross for us. It is finished. It is paid for. And children of God, you need to stop letting the enemy tell you any different. And if you are reading something, seeing something, hearing something that's telling you different, run the other way, because it is no longer truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Are you free? Do you feel free? You need to feel free every single day for what Jesus did on the cross for you. And by the way, wow, that's the good news. That is the good news. And don't ever forget it. And don't let the enemy steal it from you no longer.
Drinking warm water before bed.
Do you hear the question? Where did the good news go? Was it not what I was preaching on? I told you this thing is gone. It's no more being preached. The devil is stealing it from the church and giving us what is not the good news. I saw this thing yesterday evening. I said, oh my God, this is exactly what I was preaching. Because I thought maybe it's like the Lord is saying, no, you're saying the right thing. This is another person that knows what they're talking about. So don't listen to anything that's not the good news. Why did the good news go? Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for you have witnesses. When you inspired me to say this, Lord, I felt a little bit embarrassed. Like, am I asking the right question? But you showed me yesterday that revelation is from you. That the church has been deceived. The good news has been taken from them. That Jesus washed away our sins, bore our iniquities, brought us the blessings of God. It's no more being preached. Thank you for you have witnesses, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. The good news must be preached. Even this morning, we trust you that by your Spirit, there will be preached the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're talking of Easter. Christ is risen. The question is, where is he? We all say Christ is risen, he's risen indeed, and we end there. Oh no, we shouldn't end there. It's more than that. So our topic is to say the risen Christ is alive in us, lives with us in an intimate union. John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also. In 1 Corinthians 6, 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So today we're looking at the next purpose of our sins being forgiven and why God cleansed us of all our sins. It's so that he can have clean vessels to fill with his life. To fill with his life. To fill with his love. So that he will have a place of habitation from where he will touch this world, touch people, heal people, bring people to God. That's another main purpose of all of that. If he didn't clean us with his blood, we'll be dirty. He can't fill us with his life. He wants a vessel through which he can shine his light to this world that is in darkness. So in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, but and to kill, and to destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have, that they might have it more abundantly. To have this life in abundance, and shortly I will explain to you the importance of this abundance. Romans 5:5, and this is hope. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the abundance becomes a very important word right here. Life in abundance, love in abundance, is so that your cup runneth over. I told you that God blesses through the overflow. Because God doesn't want you to be empty. You should be full of whatever God is giving us. Full of his life. Full of his power. Full of his love. He doesn't want you to be short. So it's always what David said. He says, that prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth what? Over. So we're like cups. And God has filled us with his love so that it will run over. And what it means is that anybody that comes near you is drenched with his love. Is drenched with his love. Drenched with his compassion. Drenched with his life. Praise the Lord. And you know this, his life in us, his love in us, really is what reveals whether we are Christians or not. It's not how much we pray. It's not how much we sing. It's if he's there, where is the overflow? In John 4:7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. It's not the emotional love. It's not the love of your friends. That's not what we're talking about. The love of God goes beyond your friends. Actually, the test of the real love of God is the love for your enemies. That is what a man can do. Human beings don't do that. Only God's love does that. An unconditional love. He said, for love comes from God. For love comes from who? From God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. That's how you know. That's how you know. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's how you know a Christian. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. When you love, I'm with my love. 1 John 3:17. And whoever had this world good, seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If this love is not being manifested, it's not being seen, the Spirit of God is saying, how can you say that Christ is in you? Because God is love. And this is Jesus' desire. Church, let me tell us the truth. God is not interested in our religion. He says, I prefer mercy over sacrifice. He's not interested in our religious stuff. He wants his life. What can you do for a man? Nothing. He's the only one. He wants his life to flow through you and touch people. Because that's what can bring them benefit. He desires for us to let him loose so he can love people and bring people to God. So in Romans 10:8, it says, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor. So he said, when you start loving, you start fulfilling these commandments. It's a natural offshoot of his love, because that's his nature. God does not involve in evil. The love of God does not manifest evil, for there is no evil in God. And then we become the aroma of Christ. We become his aroma. People can smell him. People can smell him. You know, I always illustrate this with the artificial flower and natural what? Natural flower. I don't care how beautiful the artificial flower is. There is no bee that is going there. All the bees can be flying around. They will never go to an artificial flower. No insect is even going there. Not even those ones that fill your house. They won't touch your artificial flower. But you know the natural flower? That's where the bee goes. Let me tell you why. What draws him is the aroma. You can pretend to be a Christian, act to be a Christian, be an artificial flower. But Christ is not there. There's nobody that is coming to Christ through you. Not one. And people know it, that this is fake. They know it's an artificial flower. It sits in church dressed like one. They know it. And God knows it. But you see, when it is the work of God, when it is Christ in you, when it is what he's doing, his aroma comes. His aroma begins to come. People who deal with you, we know there's something about you. Listen, church, I was walking out at the park. I like to go and walk out. I don't want to lose my wife. So I like to go and walk out. She's looking so young every year, so I need to walk out to keep up. So I like to go walk in the park, do real stuff, sweat. And then this day I was walking, I told this to the man, me minding my business. Daddy, just minding my business. Walking, you know. And then, you know how you walk and you're facing down, your mind is on, I don't want to sound religious, meditative, forget about it. But, you know, you're not looking. And then suddenly, an image appears before me. That's another man coming directly opposite me. So I quickly veered off, and I apologized to him. I said, I'm so sorry, I wasn't looking. So I passed, continued my walk. And here comes this man, walking fast and caught up with me. He said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, okay, what? He said, why did you apologize to that man? I said, because I was walking, I was walking to him. He said, no, what I'm asking is, why did you apologize to him? He said, we don't apologize to anybody. He said, I want to know why you did that. There is a reason you acted different from us. Why did you apologize to him? I said, I have to. He said, no. There is something that made you behave like that. Second Corinthians 2:15. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance. That's what it is. If it's fragrance, it will draw your family. Read scripture now. Bible says that even if you have a difficult spouse, it said that they will be drawn to God through your own chest, what? Conversation. That fragrance of Christ pulls them. Pulls them. It pulls them. That's why he cleaned us out, forgave our sins, so he will fill us with his love. So the world can smell the beauty of his holiness and come to him. Praise the Lord. See what that love does. Luke chapter 7, 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. 37. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Friends, when you are touched with the power of his love, you respond like this. It breaks your heart. It breaks your emotion down. Weeping. This woman encountered love that is not anywhere. She was somebody nobody would love, nobody would come near her, nobody thought she meant she was worth anything. Only the Lord embraced her in her iniquity. The Pharisee says, who is this woman you are talking to? She saw acceptance. Love is acceptance. Love is not I love you. No, it's acceptance. You accept me the way. Love seeks fellowship. You can't love me and you avoid me. That's a lie. Love is deeper than sitting together with you in church. Because I can sit together with you and not want you near me. And I'll be praying for the grace to be said. So I get away from you. Fellowship is not that we're sitting in one place. You can sit together and don't have fellowship. You can't. The heart of man is desperately what? Very wicked. You can sit together and not have fellowship at all. Friends, we are dealing with God who sees our heart and knows everything. So she was weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. You know, the glory of a woman is her hair. And when a woman begins to wipe your dirty feet with her hair, it means a lot. Because action speaks louder. It goes beyond singing with your mouth. goes beyond singing with your mouth. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who have invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman is touching him. She said, it's a sinner. Friends, in every church you find people who do this. They categorize people as troublemakers and they avoid them. Avoid them. They avoid them. Because they are holier than. And God is watching these things. Jesus, Son of God, did nothing. He knew no sin, did nothing. He came here. They stripped him of his cloth. Nailed him on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them for what? Don't know what they did. We were too important, too holy, too good to go near a sister, a brother. Is that the love of God? She kept kissing his feet, putting perfume on them. 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he had said all this. Then 40. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Oh, go ahead, teacher. Yeah, praise the Lord. You are the Lord. Go ahead. Simon Peter. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. Who do you suppose loved him more than after that? Oh, Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet. But she has washed them with her tears, wiped them with her hairs. You didn't even greet me with a kiss. In their culture that time, there was this, the way they greeted was kissing on the cheek, not on the mouth, because you can get an oral infection. All of you that, all these young people, cha-cha-cha-cha, you just don't know what it is. You can get oral infection. I'm telling you now. You can get gingivitis. I went to pharmacy school. I graduated after 5 years of hard study. I'm a registered pharmacist. Practiced teaching, so I know what I'm talking about. If Dr. Nwobu stands up, I'll challenge him right here. He said, 48, you neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. You didn't even show that. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Then he said, I tell you something. Her sins that are many have been forgiven. Do we even appreciate the gospel? This woman said, what is the good news? Do we really appreciate the forgiveness of our sins? The goodness of God draws us to repent, the genuine repentance. You can see it all over the Bible. Jesus didn't come beating people with rod over the head. He wasn't doing that. He was just loving them and letting God, said the Father and me, do it the work. And God is love. God is love. So it was just letting the Father's love touch them. For God so loved. So God was still doing it. I love you the way you are. I really love you. I care about you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. Kind word, compassionate word, words that heals, forgiveness, not counting what they say to me. They did this to me. And your ego is pumped up so much you can't sleep. And the world has never seen anything like that. So they were all running for it. Follow him. All those rejected people, they found the only one that accepted, they were following. Romans 5:4. Or despised thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? To genuine repentance. Church, that's why the gospel is the good news. He said, go and tell them their sins are forgiven. I love them. I took care of it. For God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that they can become the righteousness of Christ. We don't preach it to them. Where did the good news go? We don't preach it. We talk about their sin, talk about their this, about their that. And they know this woman was responding to the love of God. We respond to the love of God. We respond to the love of God. The love of God is so powerful because it's God. We respond to it. And we respond with love. It's knowing the love of God that makes you love God and makes you love people. The Bible said, if you don't love, you don't know God. You don't know God, for God is love. So when you know God's love, you know God. When you know God, that spirit begins to move in you. First John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. And you know, the love of God is what reveals the presence of Christ in us, like we've been saying, because he cleaned us, forgave us, to fill us with his love, fill us with his life. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression. His love is being manifested. It's being revealed. Christ is being revealed for his love. He loves the world. He loves everybody. And in everything we do, this love ranks highest in the program of God. Very soon you see how this connects to your Easter. You see it now. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages, I'm reading TPT, and in heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words will be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing, more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possess unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that I could move mountains, if I start here and say, who, everybody on the floor? So one day I'll teach you people about some things. Listen to me. You better get the knowledge of Christ more than seeking for power. If you don't get the knowledge of Christ in this last day, you will fall. Those things won't keep you. I'm telling you the truth. It won't keep you. It's knowledge that establishes your faith. And Jesus said, if you start doing what I say, let the storms come, let the sin come, you won't fall. That's what keeps you. Rooted and grounded in Christ. I want to sit under a teacher. Praise the Lord. And he said, if I possess all this and move my death, but have never learned to love, then I'm nothing. I want to tell us another thing the enemy did. He sowed a dummy to the church, deceived the church by refocusing us from the works of Christ to codes of law. That is a wicked spirit. And I told you, I said, they are taking away the good news, replaced it. He replaced the work of Christ, focusing on Jesus, to focusing on do's and don'ts, codes, and he calls it preaching holiness. And we swallow this hook and sink. Everybody wants to preach holiness. Doesn't want. That's what they cause it. And you see, when you find out what you want to know, when we start saying we're preaching holiness, watch, we start bragging about it. We preach holiness. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. He's done that. Code of conduct, and all that. It is important to teach and remind Christians their behavioral pattern and codes. That's important. Nobody's belittling that. But we shouldn't focus on it. We should focus on Jesus Christ. Simply because code of conduct do not give life. Can't save you from your power of your sin. Can't deliver you from your bad habit. It has no ability to deliver you, help you at all. That's what the enemy has done. So we're preaching about codes. Now we call it preaching holiness. Look up here, let me tell you something. Only God can make you holy. Period. If God doesn't make you holy, you will never be. He said, who maketh you to be different from the other? Is it not God? So what you have, you didn't receive. You take your eyes from Jesus, who makes you holy, to the codes of conduct. Code of conduct will not stop you from adultery. Can't stop you from lying. Many of you have been lying. You are now certified liars now. Been lying. Real certified. The devil is like, wow, this is beyond me. Wow. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Jesus didn't bring us code of conduct. That's what the enemy has focused on. What Moses brought. That's true. Look at Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, those code of conduct can't do anything. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't it a wisdom that we should focus on what God is doing through Christ rather than the law that could not do anything for us? Is it not wisdom? Shouldn't we go back to it? And the NLT told us plainly. It says, Romans 8, it says, the law of Moses was unable to save us. It's still unable. The law cannot stop you from committing sin. It can't give you life. Nothing. Only Christ can save. Only Jesus can break it. Only Jesus can change it. And without Christ, we can do nothing. So you see, when he takes away your eyes from Jesus to do's and don'ts, and we'll say we're preaching holiness, he's finished you. And then it's about what you do, self-righteousness with God calls futile. Because it's not really righteousness. Colossians 2:13. See what the law could not do, what the code of conduct cannot do. We should focus on what Christ is doing. That's what sets you free. Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God, the law of Moses couldn't do this. Then God made you alive with who? With Christ. For he forgave. Good news. That's where it starts. It starts there. If the church does not preach this forgiveness of sins, we're not preaching the good news. We are told to go and preach forgiveness of sins to people. That's what the blood achieved. If our sins are not forgiven, we don't have peace with God. We won't have freedom from the devil. We have freedom from Satan. We have nothing. For he forgave all our sins. Can I hear a big amen? All of them. He canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. 15 is very, very informative then. In this way, this is how he disarmed the devil in your life. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Because you see, what empowers the enemy's sin. And Jesus came and took your sin and nailed it on the cross. So the enemy has nothing to lay hands on. Oh, you are not following me. Nothing. The soul that sinners shall what? Be the gift of God. It's eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, that's how he disarmed the devil. He took away what he trusted. Before Adam sinned, the devil had no power. Took away what he trusted with his blood. Forgiveness of sin is key in the teaching of the Bible. Very important. Don't neglect that. If you get it, understand it, accept it, the Spirit of God will work more in your life than before. Praise the Lord. Romans 6, 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The Lord can destroy the power of sin. Only Christ did. Might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. 18. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. That's what Christ did. What the Lord could not do, God did. Then look at Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So my question is, am I going to focus on God's work in me or on do's and don'ts? Is it that do's and don'ts that preaching and say, I'm preaching holiness? Is that what God is doing in me? Do I know them? Is it not to know them and believe them and experience them? Jude 24. Jude has only one chapter. Don't look for Jude chapter 24. Jude has only one chapter. Jude chapter 1, 24. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. If he's the one that is able to keep me from falling, where should my focus be? On him. Looking unto Jesus. That's what it should be. That's where it should be. Not on yourself. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good works, who began it? He began the good works in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Should we not focus on him that began this work and is still doing it? Am I not supposed to look at what he's doing so that I cooperate with him? Is he not how I live holy? Is he not him that makes me holy? Is he not him that keeps me from falling? Is he not him that is at work in me to will and to do? Why should I take my eyes away from him? The devil sold the church a dummy. They bought it. That's why you go to church. You don't find the love of God. You don't find people living in love. You don't find nothing. You find a lot of religion, a lot of languages, a lot of this. But go and deal with somebody with money and find her sanctified there. You don't have to go too far. Two Christians can't do business together. In 1 week, they call Pastor Victor to come and settle. Is that true or false? Absolute truth. Because the power that keeps us, the power that worketh in us, the love of God, we don't even know that it exists. And you know, we think that holiness is... Look up here, don't write anything. God did not change your personality. Did you hear what I'm saying? God did not change me to be behaving like Pastor Dorot because he made me the way I am. We are like God's spanners. You are size 16. This is size 14. This is size 12. If God wants to do work with size 12, she will call a size 12 spanner and send the person. If he wants to do work with size 16 spanner, he will call Dave, size 6. Oh, Dave says size 20. So you see, our personalities are useful in his hand. Because there are people that need different personalities to handle. There are people that need different. So he uses us with the personality he created us with. Christianity is not changing your personality. So you start working because Pastor Dorothy doesn't talk. I mean, no, I will talk, Jerry. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she can preach and be quiet and say, praise the Lord. No, I'll shout and yell. Because there are some people that shout, they will wake up. Everybody is God's size, particular spanner. When he wants to use you in particular situations, he won't bring somebody who doesn't talk. When he wanted to confront the Gentiles, he took Paul, stubborn. They would throw stones at him, would get up and go back there. They did, he was a very, very stubborn man. He couldn't send Peter because Peter would buckle. Peter couldn't eat with them. The man would give up the faith. But he sent Paul, somebody with a different personality who he knows he can use in that circumstance. Not to change your personality at all. No. Don't try it. Because if you start changing your personality, you start producing heat. And you can't do it. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Be you. But give it to Christ to use. Amen? Okay. Now, we're supposed to focus on Christ with him. Because he uses our personality. He uses it in love. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Pursue this love with eagerness. Make it your goal. Yet, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. Pursue this life of Christ. Let love use your personality. Let the love of God take control of your personality type. Let him, if you are doing it, do it in love. Whatever you are doing, do it in love. Let his love control it. Let his spirit control it. Let him be the one using it. He said we should pursue it. It should be our desire. Look at what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls and compels us. The love of Christ controls and compels us. That's what it should be. The love of Christ should be the one controlling what you say, even if you are the one that talks, let it be the one. If you are the one that doesn't talk, let it be the one. Because sometimes if you don't talk, it's because you are mad. For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, because all died, he died for us, so that all those who live will no longer live for themselves. You see what it does? When he controls you, don't live for yourself. It takes over and begins to use you. So you see, the world needs to see the risen Jesus, who is alive, and the only one who can save, the only one who can help them, the only one who can bring a change in their lives is the risen Christ. The risen Christ. The risen Christ. The risen who? Christ. But where is he? Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's in you. Shout to his risen. His risen, but he's alive in you and clamoring to be released to love the world. Clamoring, let me lose, I want to love them. Let me control you, let me use your personality. It's alive. The news of Easter is a daily thing through the Christian. Let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Is his presence, is it your consciousness anyway? Do you live daily with the consciousness of his presence in you? His reason. Okay, where is he? His reason. Because he wants to send us to the world as a letter he has written every day, so that people can read his letter to them. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:3. That's how he shines light. That's how he shines light into this dark world. This world is full of darkness, full of lying, full of deceit. But he brings truth. He brings light. He brings his word. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ. Oh, can I hear amen? You are a letter from who? His reason, and he wrote a letter. And I'm the letter. So when you go to your job, he wrote a letter to everybody there. And you are the letter. Because it's in you, he wants to show himself. Can I hear MM Church? You know, one time the Lord told me, he said, you people are preaching a dead Christ. He said, you should preach a risen Christ, it's alive. I'm not kidding. He said, all I hear is dead Christ. They talk about Jesus, they don't even know where he is. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with spirit of the living God. It was carved, not in tablets of stone, but in human hearts. Our calling, church, is to be a witness of the risen Christ that is alive. That's your call. That's my call. The world cannot respond to a Jesus that we don't know where he is. Can only respond to the risen Christ who is able to teach them. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of, I didn't hear you, of, I want to hear you further, of his resurrection. Our witness is not to tell stories. It's that he's alive. He's not in the grave. He's alive. You want to see him, he's in me. He's alive. We are called to be witnesses of his resurrection. That he's alive. He lives in me. When you talk, they hear him. When you do things, they see him. When you act, they see him. You are a witness that Jesus is no more in the grave. You're a witness of his resurrection. That's why he cleaned you out, forgave your sins, and filled you with his presence so that we can go and be a witness of his resurrection. But you know, we must first of all encounter him. Every Christian, listen to me. You must have an encounter with the living Christ. John 20:15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" She supposed him to be a gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary, I'm alive. I am what? I'm alive. I'm here. Stop looking for me in the grave." You must have this encounter. I'm not making it up. You must have this encounter. I'm not saying you have to see him, but the Spirit of God must have to reveal to you the risen Christ, that Jesus is alive. That's his witness too. If you are going to witness about the resurrection of Christ, he will bring you into an encounter where he will reveal to you the reality of the risen Christ. You will know for sure that it's alive and it's living in you. And you know, it was after that, church, listen to me. It was after that Jesus commissioned him now to go and tell his disciples. Because now he has encountered Christ. People say women should not preach. They are liars. Because the first person that preached the gospel was a woman. And it was Jesus that commissioned. Why didn't Jesus wait for me? The first person that went to preach this gospel. If Jesus commissioned the woman to preach it, Jesus still commissions women to preach it to them. If you are a woman preacher, be strong and be firm. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't change. Galatians 1:15. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. If you are sleeping, shout in the spirit. 1 Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through the grace to reveal his son in me. That's why I started with Paul. Paul didn't just jump out. No, there was a time that the Holy Spirit revealed his son in him. That is in you. That's a revelation of Christ in him. You must have a revelation of the risen Christ in you. Must. Otherwise, your witness will be shallow. Very shallow. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me to his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's where I started. Many people don't know him. The Bible says if you don't love, you don't know him. You don't know, you got to know him. Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say I am? That's where it starts. Who am I? Who am I? And they say, what manner of man is this? If you don't have an encounter with the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ in you, you don't have a testimony. I'm telling you the truth. You'll be coming to church, sit down, be good. The moment you have this revelation of Christ, the reality of Jesus, it will spin your life around. It will turn it around. Because it's the truth. When you know the truth, it starts, it sets you free from your pride. The first thing is your pride will die. You cannot know him. Your pride is gone. You don't need someone. You don't need someone. Goes. His glory will baffle you. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes, touched him with our own hands. He's the word of life. We have the experience. He's real. He's real. He is real. Look at Paul. This encounter comes daily. It's not a once and for all thing. It comes daily in your place of prayer. It can happen in your place of prayer. It can happen in your place of studying. It can happen in your place of work, where you focus on him. I have to have a desire to know the wonders of his person. Throw religion out the window, it won't help you. All these do's and don'ts, the devil sowed to the church, it's worst of time. Seek Christ. He's the only one who can change your life and make it what God wants it to be. I'm telling you now. Without him, you can do absolutely not. All that thing you are seeking to do to be better is worst of time. It's worst of time. Take your life and give to him. He will. You stop those things without thinking. They will just die. Philippians 3:8. See how Paul was encountering him. I'm reading Amplified Version. If you are following me, I want you to say amen. Amen. Philippians 3:8. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dread, in order that I may win Christ, gain Christ, the anointed one, verse 9. I may actually be found and known as in him, not having my own self achieved righteousness, the code of the law. I don't want that. The self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing that, possessing that genuine righteousness which comes from true faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person. That's what it takes. desire, encounter, to know the wonders of his person, to be intimate with him. He's risen, yes, but he's alive, and I need to know him more and more. Instead of focusing on all those things the devil showed the church, we look unto him. We desire to know him. We go after it. We pray about it. We study about it. We get more intimate with him. We begin to hear him. We understand his guidance. We understand what he says. Man, your life will change. And one good thing about it is it becomes an effortless life. Simple, effortless. That's what Easter is all about. His reason. But he lives in me. But do you want to know him? Do you want to meet him? Do you want to, are you, is that your burning desire? Paul said, every other thing is waste of time. Because he's the only person that matters in my life is him. The only one that, he's all that matters. Because he's the only one who can keep my life, keep me from falling. He's the only one working in me to will and to do. He's the only one, hope of glory. He's the only one, he's the only one, he's the only one. So I go after him with all my heart. Because of Easter, I can know the risen Christ. And if I know him, I will become a credible witness for what I know, not what I don't, I'm not sure. And then people can believe me because they will see Christ alive where? Me. The first people that will notice is your family people. They will notice it. Praise the Lord.